Welcome to this episode of Bavistock's All Sorts, a short fiction podcast. I'm your host, Jessica Bavistock, reader and writer of what you're about to hear. Today I've got a science fiction story for you called The Stone Trader. This story is a teaser for my Stone Keepers series, but I'm going to be completely upfront and let you know that the other stories in this series are not yet in print. So if you enjoy this story, start pestering me and hopefully I'll get them finished and up where you can read them. So here we go, off into the Stone Keeper universe. The trader pushed the oxygen mask over his face and inhaled. This stone had better be good. Shoving the oxygen bottle back in his pocket, he continued trudging through the rock-strewn desert. The thin air toyed with his head and stomach, the pain of drawing breath clawed at his lungs. Ice crystals mixed with dirt crunched beneath his feet, reminding him of the snow he used to play in as a boy, long ago. Shimmering grey dirt stretched into the horizon, merging with the dim sky. The monotonous landscape only broken by dark rock formations in the distance and the white outlines of the two women walking in front of him. The rustle of his bulky jacket alerted the women to his lagging pace. The older woman looked back over her shoulder, flashing a harsh smile as if pleased at his struggle. He would have cursed her name, if he had known it. With humankind scattered among the stars in poverty-stricken colonies, only two things connected the last remnants of the race. A makeshift government, too busy arguing over a chain of command to be of use to its citizens, and traders, distributing necessities as they flew between colonies. Traders were always welcome, received with the traditional greeting, "Peace to you and your colony," establishing connection, a glimmer of friendship, before trading began and a scowl eclipsed all. "Here," the younger woman pointed into a jagged rift in the grey, the opening of a fissure. She turned and climbed down the rock face, disappearing into the darkness. He cursed under his breath. Walking was hard enough in these infernal conditions, but clambering down a fissure promised to be torture. Why couldn't they present the stone to him in warmth and safety instead of setting off on this death march? Wheezing, nauseous, and calculating the likelihood of injury, he was seriously rethinking his occupation. The older woman grunted, standing over him and pointing with her chin for him to descend. He let out a sigh and immediately regretted releasing hard-earned air. The mist of his breath danced in front of him. Turning around, he swung a foot over the edge and clutched at the rock with his gloved hands. The fissure was not as deep as he expected. 15 feet to the rock floor where the younger woman waited for him with a flashlight. He shivered in the shadows, the weak sunlight already unable to reach this far. He took another puff of his oxygen bottle as the older woman easily clambered down the rock face and then gestured for them to continue. This stone had better be spectacular. Tucking his face further into the folds of his jacket, he followed the younger woman through the winding crevasse. He traded many things, ship's parts, medical supplies, even specialty foods from time to time. But he'd discovered a lucrative niche in trading rocks. Among the tired, cynical colonists were a deluded few who still believed in beauty, who craved owning things that glittered, glowed, or shone, and had the means to pay. But there was an even more elite market, one he had personally cultivated. The romantic scientist, who believed the universe held the answers to as many questions as it asked, who believed that locked away in the rocks and minerals may be the panacea for all that ailed mankind. Connecting these men with their dreams was an amusing sideline, one that paid. He hoped this stone would appeal to those with funds to make his trouble worthwhile. He shivered constantly now, the cold penetrating his clothing. Neither woman seemed affected. Perhaps they were used to it, or perhaps they were using warming pads and hadn't seen fit to share. Their message had interested him. A stone that glowed, perhaps even emitted energy, although they did not provide any evidence, not even their names, only a terse invitation, Come, see for yourself. The thought of visiting this lonely colony, renowned for its cold and primitive conditions, had made him hesitate. But business was slow, and he was curious. If he'd known the invitation included a trek past colony boundaries into the wasteland, he would have stayed on Evergreen Station and tried his luck at cards. The flashlight picked out an opening, the outline of a small cave and a glimmer of silver from a tent nestled within. The younger woman unzipped the tent door and stepped through. He followed. The warmth inside caused his frozen cheeks to sear with pain. For a moment he missed the icy numbness. The younger woman put down the flashlight, revealing the room from the ground up. The tent was fitted out for an extended stay. Two beds, a heater, and cooking facilities were the sparse extent of the provided comforts. Ropes and surveying equipment lay scattered on one of the beds, while in a corner sat a desk with papers and rock samples strewn across it. The older woman stepped into the tent behind him and zipped the door. Both women removed their jackets. He followed, grateful to be free of the bulk. "Well," he said, "where is it?" The younger woman took off her gloves and pulled a key from her pocket. She unlocked the drawer of the desk. Watching his reaction, she reached in. A sudden hum tickled his eardrums and a green glow emanated from the drawer. Slowly she raised her hand, revealing the stone. He stifled a gasp. In her palm sat an equilateral pyramid. Three visible sides glowed like a dim light bulb. The base, a fourth triangle, rested on the woman's hand. As she brought it closer to him, the humming intensified. He had been wrong. Far from an amusing diversion, this stone promised riches beyond imagining. Scientists would scramble to outbid each other. He could retire, buy himself a little bungalow near a hot spring, and never be cold again. It would be by far the most valuable treasure to pass through his hands. Unless it was a hoax. Sobered by this thought, he reached out to check. "Don't touch it," the younger woman cried out, pulling it away from him. "It's..." The older woman grunted, silencing the younger. "How can I evaluate it if I can't touch it?" he snapped. "Put it down." The older woman nodded toward the table. The younger woman obeyed, the light fading from the stone as her hand left it. "Now you may touch it." The older woman crossed her arms and watched him. He took off his gloves, knelt by the table, and reached out to touch the stone. It was warm, as if alive. He picked it up and held it in his palm. The stone did not glow. "Neat trick. What am I supposed to do with it? Hang it on my star chart as a lucky charm?" He thrust the stone back into the younger woman's hand. As soon as it touched her skin, the stone returned to life, humming, glowing, and hot. His hand stuck to the stone like a tongue to ice. He cried out in surprise, but the air was split by an even louder squeal from the stone. The woman gasped and yanked her hand away. The stone dropped to the ground, its squeal silenced. He panted hard, rubbing the tingling skin on his fingers. The younger woman's eyes darted from the stone to him in panic. The older woman bent over and picked it up. He stared at the inert stone as she turned it in her hand. Did it make that noise? The stone was perfectly transparent, yet each of the four facets was a different color, blue, green, yellow, and black. There was no hidden button, no inner mechanism. It was a stone, a crystal of some description, he guessed. "What is it?" he asked. The older woman spoke. "That's what you're here for." "I'm a trader, not a geologist." "You sell yourself short," she smirked. "You have a reputation of being knowledgeable in this area. Some call you the stone trader." He shifted in his boots. Their message had been no mere coincidence. This woman had done her research. "I'd have to analyze it back on my ship. I'll need a fragment." "There are no fragments." The younger woman still watched him with caution. Didn't you keep the offcuts when you cut the stone? Incompetence infuriated him. And while we're on the subject, what possessed you to cut it as a, we didn't cut the stone, the older woman said. He scoffed. Are you telling me it came out of the ground a perfect tetrahedron? Yes, this is its original crystalline structure. He stared at it, the most astonishing stone he had ever seen. His head started to swim. Then I'll need to take a sample from the stone itself. She shook her head. It can't be cut. It's harder than diamond. These women wanted something, but he wasn't about to play 20 questions. Then I'm sorry, I can't help you. I have no intention of trading anything for a stone I know nothing about. He stepped toward the tent door to add strength to his bluff. The older woman leaned closer to him. You and I both know, even without analysis, this stone is valuable. It's a rare, perhaps unique, crystal form. If you don't want to take the risk, then we'll just find someone who does. He stroked his chin, as if considering her words. This woman was a player. I cannot offer a higher price without analysis. The older woman laughed. I have a simple bargain, mister. No haggling needed. Do you recall a wooden chest of drawers I have in my family shack? It could hardly have been missed. He'd mentally evaluated the relic when they'd first met. What of it? Fill it. With gold, with grain, with warm clothes. Whichever you find easiest to get a hold of. I don't mind. Fill it, and we'll give you the stone. He laughed. Yep, she was playing him. She did not smile. Instead, she motioned for the younger woman to put on her jacket. You can't be serious, he said, fast realizing she was. We know what we have. If you don't want it, we'll find someone who will meet our price. How many of these stones do you have? This made the woman smile. We'll provide you with this stone for a small price so you can analyze it and find buyers. Then we'll discuss any more stones we may or may not have. He nodded toward the stone. The young woman again placed it on the table and stepped back. He took the stone, stroking the surfaces. They did not glow as they had when the younger woman touched it, but they were still warm. He gazed into the stone. He noted a strange sensation, as if the stone were gazing back into him. You have a deal, he said. If you enjoyed this story, then sign up to this podcast. There's plenty more where that came from. If you'd like to read this story in print, The Stone Trader is available as a standalone ebook from all major ebook retailers. It's also available in the first volume of Bavistock's Allsorts, which is available as an ebook or paperback. In the next episode of Bavistock's Allsorts, I'll be reading a humorous story called Buried Jewels, where two childhood friends find themselves in a real-life treasure hunt. Tune in next time for more fiction. This episode of Bavistock's Allsorts was written, produced, edited, and hosted by me, Jessica Bavistock. And on the subject of the epic music you're now hearing, I've been in contact with Raphael. I asked him if his surname rhymes with ducks or books, and serendipitously enough, it rhymes with books. So, ladies and gentlemen, the music in this podcast is by Raphael Crooks.